Greetings, my friends. We continue our discussion of the subject, the Holy Spirit. Today, the miracle of speaking in tongues. The miraculous power of the Holy Spirit enabled the early Christians to perform great and mighty works. One of the most marvelous works of the Spirit was that of speaking in tongues by the apostles on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Part of the text reads like this. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as the rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? This was a great miracle. If men could speak in tongues today, it would be as much a miracle as it was on Pentecost, because speaking in tongues would be impossible today as it was 1900 years ago without direct intervention of the Holy Spirit. It seemed quite obvious that many people today do not understand what is meant by speaking with other tongues. A careful study of the text should leave no doubt, however, as to the Bible meaning and purpose of speaking in other tongues. The text, Acts 2, 6 and 8, clearly states that the multitude was confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And furthermore, how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? In this text, speaking in tongues was not a matter of speaking a language unknown to anyone, but it was with ability, by guidance of the Holy Spirit, to speak a language which was known and understood by the hearer, but unknown to the speaker, a language he had never known or spoken before. The text revealed that there were at least 15 different countries or provinces represented in the audience which heard the apostles speak in tongues. Therefore, some 15 different languages or dialects. The people from each country heard them speak in his own native tongue or language. Benson's Commentary, Volume 4, page 687, states, These disciples had not only never learned any of these languages, but had not learned any foreign tongue. Most of them had never so much as heard any of the languages spoken, or had any idea of them. They did not speak now and then a word of another tongue, or stammer out some broken sentences, but spoke each language which they spoke as readily, properly, and elegantly as if it had been their own mother tongue. For whatever was produced by a miracle was the best of the kind. End of quotation. The fact that the great miracle of speaking in tongues by the apostles, enabling every man to hear them speak in his own language, was accomplished caused the multitude to marvel and be amazed. The apostles preached the gospel to more than 3,000 people representing at least 15 different nations, and every man heard them speak in his own language wherein he was born. When they spoke in tongues, it was not a jabber, jargon, conglomeration of unintelligent sounds. They spoke words that brought conviction to the hearts of the people. Yes, it was a miracle. The gospel was directed in languages never studied or spoken by the speakers to the people of at least 15 different nationalities. The baptism of the Holy Spirit received by the apostles made it possible for them to preach the gospel to the 3,000 people who heard and understood in their own different languages. Many people, and not a few religious leaders, have become confused about the possibility of speaking in tongues today, and some claim to speak in unknown tongues. It is quite evident that men today do not and cannot speak in tongues, as was done in New Testament times. Where is the man or woman who can speak 15 different languages that he has never studied or learned? Would it not be the most amazing thing, as on Pentecost, for a man to preach the gospel to an audience of 15 different nationalities, and every man hear and understand in his own tongue or language wherein he was born, yet the speaker had never known the different languages. That would be as much a miracle today as it was on Pentecost. If there are people today who can speak in tongues like those of New Testament times, may I suggest the most opportune place to do so? Why not go before the Assembly of the United Nations in New York City and preach the gospel to representatives of the nations of the world? If one could speak in tongues by the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he could speak to every man of every nation, and he could hear and understand in his own native language. The arrangement for such a meeting is not unrealistic. If a person can be found who can really speak in tongues, I am sure the arrangements could be made, because this accomplishment in communications would be so amazing that the United Nations of the world would welcome it. No doubt, every radio and television station in the world would want to broadcast such speaking in tongues without charge, because it would be unheard of, amazing, and astonishing performance. If the persons who claim to speak in tongues will give assurance of his power and ability to speak in tongues and will volunteer his services, your speaker will take the responsibility of providing a worldwide audience to hear the message in their own native languages. My friends, be not deceived. Men do not speak in tongues today as in New Testament times because they do not have the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, which would enable them to speak in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was the source of miraculous power which enabled the apostles to speak with other tongues, as you read in Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Reading that, you will find that the antecedent of the pronouns they and them is the apostles, as stated in the last verse of the first chapter of Acts. The apostles, therefore, were they who received the baptism and marriage of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit made sure that identity would not be mistaken. And the Bible says, and there appeared unto them, remember them, the apostles, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 3. From this text, we would conclude that each apostle who was speaking with other tongues was identified with the tongue like as of fire, which sat upon his head, all of which caused the multitude that gathered to be amazed. There could be no doubt that the apostles were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and did speak in other tongues, because the verse declares, are not all these which speak Galileans? The apostles were Galileans. The 120 disciples also present were not Galileans. From this text under consideration, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we must conclude that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit before they could speak with other tongues. Furthermore, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yes, my friends, where is the person today who can speak with the power of the Holy Spirit in tongues miraculously, as did those men on that memorable day? It must be concluded that men do not speak in tongues today as in the Testament times, because men do not receive the miraculous baptism and marriage of the Holy Spirit, as we have discussed previously, as did the apostles in Bible times. Neither are men divinely guided in delivering a message as were the apostles who spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But someone may claim to speak in tongues because he claims to possess the gift of tongues, although he did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as did the apostles. It seems evident from the Scriptures that there were some early Christians during the days of miracles in the church who could speak in tongues but did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As pointed out in a former address, miracles were born only by the power received from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Such miracles were they that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles, as you read in Acts the 8th chapter and the 19th chapter of Acts. This was in addition to the baptism and marriage of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. As the church of our Lord grew in New Testament times, Some congregations were made up of men and women of different nationalities, different tongues. Therefore, God in His divine arrangement continued the miraculous gift of divers kinds of tongues for a time, as well as other gifts. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Paul's estimation of the value of speaking in tongues as the church grew more to maturity was revealed, however, when he said, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak unto you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine?" The apostle concluded, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I should might teach others, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." 1 Corinthians 14, 18 and 19. From the study of the scriptures, is it evident that those who were performing the miraculous works of the Spirit were promised, "In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink in a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." In view of this declaration of our Lord and other references considered, I suggest, my friends, this proposal. For any consideration of those who might claim to speak in tongues, hear it. Are you listening? If one can speak in tongues, can he drink deadly poison and not be hurt? 2. If one can speak in tongues today, may he not lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover from an incurable disease? 3. If one can speak in tongues by the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, could he not by the same power raise the dead? Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. 4. If one is able to speak with other tongues, as some of the Corinthian church, would there not also be some who could prophesy, speak by divine revelation, as the Spirit gave them utterance? Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that speaking in tongues was done by supernatural power, by those with miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Such miraculous power enabled the apostles and some other Christians during the infancy period of the church to perform such miracles as raising the dead, healing the sick, speaking in languages never known by direct revelation of the Holy Spirit. For one to affirm that speaking in tongues may be done today will also necessitate the affirmation of performance of other miraculous works of the Holy Spirit. In the absence of one of the miraculous works of the Spirit performed today, there is the proof of the absence of all. The Apostle Paul, referring to the miraculous works in the early church, declared that they would cease or vanish away. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. He specifically included speaking in tongues when he said, "Whether there be tongues, they shall cease." Speaking in tongues, whether to God or to man, was a miraculous gift, whether by the power of the baptism or marriage of the Holy Spirit, as in Acts the 2nd chapter, or by the laying on of the apostles' hands in Acts the 8th chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, Paul definitely declared that these miraculous administrations of the Spirit included the word of knowledge, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking tongues, and interpretation of tongues. If tongues continue today, then miracles definitely have not ceased. And these other miraculous administrations of the Spirit must be in evidence just as much as speaking in tongues. May I ask, where is the person who definitely has supernatural knowledge? Where is the person who received divine revelation from God in heaven? If such a person could be found, then the inspired men of God falsified when they declared that the gospel of Christ, the word of God, is complete, the final revelation of God to man. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, the apostle said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." If the miraculous gift of speaking in tongues continues today, then the inspired apostle Paul was in error when he said, Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Paul said that tongues would cease. In the same verse, he said that knowledge, supernatural knowledge, of course, would also cease. They both were to cease at the same time, and that was to occur when that which is perfect is come, when the church had grown to maturity and was no longer in its infancy or childhood. 1 Corinthians 13:10-11. Furthermore, the apostle suggested the time was at hand then. In verse 8 of this text, the apostle referred to love, prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. He said that the supernatural gifts of prophecies and tongues and knowledge would cease. In verse 13 of the text, he declared, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Evidently, others had vanished away even then.